7:41 at WEOL. Time to check in with the interview I did with author David Shapiro. He and Richard Leiter have worked before. Richard Leiter is a founder of Inventure, the Purpose Company, whose mission is to help people unlock the power of purpose. David's a philosopher, educator, and writer. I asked him about the book, Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old? The Path of Purposeful Aging. And I started by asking David a little bit about his collaboration before with Richard.
So Richard and I have a long relationship going back about 30 years. I would call him my mentor. But we've engaged in this long conversation over the past three decades about meaning and purpose in life. And now we're focused on that question as to what that looks like in later life.
You come at this with sort of the philosophy aspect of it, right? I mean, is that...
Yes, I'm a philosophy teacher. I'm a philosophy professor. And so I'm interested in that, the whole question of what is an examined life. So an examined life for one's whole life.
When you come at it from as philosophy, do you ever come up with, you have answers, or does it just create more questions?
That's very good. I always say to my students, no answers, just questions. And in fact, the book is arranged around a series of questions, starting with that very first one, who do you want to be when you grow old?
And how do you answer that? And I mean, what do you use as the tools to kind of come up with an answer for that?
Well, it is about introspection and looking within, asking yourself meaningful questions and finding the answers for yourself.
I will say that this book has arrived on my desk at a time in my life where I'm sort of, I guess I'm almost the prime person for this book, because it gives me some answers to the things that I've been thinking about at this time. I hit one of the big milestone birthdays as well.
Well, one thing to think about, and it's just a small point we make in the book, that you're old for half of your life. There's a young half and an old half, and we want to recapture the good part of being old. So this book is all about a celebration of that second half of life.
You bring up a phrase in here that I've not heard before, elderhood. Explain that.
Elderhood, yeah. We talk about you grow up twice, once from childhood to adulthood, and then a second time from adulthood to elderhood. And so what it means to be an elder, what it means to embrace that experience of the second half of life is a big part of what we explore in this book.
You have something related to reflection and projection. Take us through a little bit of that and what we need to know about our memories and what we are. And then,
yeah, absolutely. So one of the great gifts of the second half of life is that you have a wealth of experiences to draw from and to grow from. So that that piece of reflection, looking back over one's life, considering what lessons you can take from it. That's the reflection part. And then the projection part is, again, that question of who you want to be now at this phase in your life. Going forward, who do you want to be?
Are we able to, I mean, make those hard or solid decisions, or is it sort of we're happy where we are? I mean, are we changing our direction in a sense?
Not necessarily, but one of the aspects of the second half of life that's so wonderful is that we presumably have fewer constraints upon us. That is, we can be more courageous, we can be more reflective, and we can really be that person we always meant to be. That may involve some change, but not necessarily.
We are talking today with David Shapiro. The book is called Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old? The Path of Purposeful Aging. I somehow have a tendency to stumble on that word. I don't know.
The Path of Purposeful Aging. It is a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it?
But I sometimes wonder, you know, everything's sort of purposeful, and we think of mindfulness. These are other terms that have been coming up more recently than I hear. Sort of start understanding, you know, being present, but also then, I guess, having a purpose about it. A lot of times we think that we're sort of floating through.
Yeah, and, you know, purpose can sound like something huge, and we talk about a kind of big P purpose, why you're here, but there's also the small P purpose. What are the simple acts that I want to take each day to that get me out of bed in the morning. Why do I get up in the morning? That piece of purpose.
And what do some people think that they need to put into it? What are some of the, I guess, areas that are really, other than sort of a drive for something, a passion? These are words you hear, but what does that mean concretely?
One way of thinking about it is on a model of what we call the good life, which is a concept that we've been building on since our first book back in 1984, Repacking Your Bags. And our conception of the good life has four components to it. Our simple definition is living in the place you belong with people you love, doing the right work on purpose. And so those four aspects of life, thinking about those, where do you want to be both physically and emotionally? That's the living in the place I belong with people I love. Who are those people in your life who sustain you, who feed you? Doing the right work is the third component, and it doesn't necessarily have to be paid work, but thinking in terms of what is my calling. And then finally, that aspect of purpose. So bringing all four of those together can be a model for thinking about how you want to be, who you want to be in later life.
So you have the word old. How would you describe it? When does that occur? Who's old? What is old?
So that's we want to reclaim the term old in a good way. As I said before, we're old for half of our lives. The median age in the U.S. right now is between 38 and 40. So you are old when you pass that that line, and you know, old has a both an objective dimension and a normative dimension, a dimension of a value dimension, and so. There's objectively old, and then there's the old is often thought of in a pejorative way. But if you think of the power and the advantages of being old, a chance to be more reflective, an opportunity to be kinder, an opportunity to give more to other people. And so in that context, old is something to be embraced, something to be celebrated.
Well, we sometimes equate old, you know, would you say experience, you know, that sort of thing, or knowledge. Those are two
right.
things that kind of go along with it, I guess, in a sense.
And you can't necessarily count on becoming wiser, but you can grow into the person you really are, and in that sense, develop a greater sense of authenticity.
Yeah, but a section in this book that I find sort of fascinating, relating about who is me or who am I? In other words, is it our physical body? You talk about
living. What makes me me?
Right.
It's what they call in philosophy the problem of personal identity. Who am I? Am I my body? Am I my mind? Am I my soul? What makes me who I am? And a point can be made. We can sort of set aside some of those academic disputes and embrace all three of those. There's a component of who I am that is my body, there's a component of who I am that is my mind, and there's a component of who I am that is the spiritual side of me, which is something we can also explore more deeply in the later half of life.
Do we live in a certain era in our mind? I don't know how to explain that. In other words, I have sort of a sense of who I am, but then, as you say, you see your appearance and you know that you've aged, or you know people in your life pass away, and you think I'm a certain age when somebody was this age, and I was that seemed old at that time. You start doing that sort of thing.
But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a really good question. What era do we live in our lives? Obviously, we want to try to live in the present,
right.
but it's informed by all our past experiences and our future hopes and dreams as well.
But they also talk about maybe feeling young.
That's understanding the term young as a value judgment. And, you know, sometimes people say, it's a common thing to say, you know, I want to die young, as old as possible. But we want to flip that a little bit. There's another way of thinking about, I want to live old as young as possible, where old carries with it the connotation of wisdom and reflection and kindness and so forth.
You talked to your co-author, Richard, older than you. Do you guys bring different perspectives, or do you find a common things, or is there things?
I think it's a yes and. You know, in some way, we talked about this in Repacking Your Bags. In some way, we sort of bracket the baby boom generation, and so there's a perspective that emerges out of that. But yeah, he's certainly forging the way. He's certainly offering for me a model of what authentic elderhood looks like.
We don't age in a vacuum or a bubble, as it were. Society is around us, culture is around us, different countries and like that. What can you kind of, how does that pack on top of all of this?
Certainly the social dimension of aging is, like you say, informs our experience of it. One small piece that we take from another culture, in the traditional Hindu model of life, there's four stages. The first is you're a student, and then second, you're a householder. There's a third stage called the vanaprastha stage. That's usually translated forest dweller. And the idea is that when your children are all grown up and married off, you go into the forest and live with the monks to deepen your spiritual practice, to deepen your understanding of the divine or the sacred. It's not really retirement. It's going inside to connect with something larger than you, and that's a really useful model that we can draw from in the West. So one of the aspects of elderhood, one of the aspects of becoming older, is to connect more deeply with that spiritual side, and the vanaprastha stage helps us understand that.
As you age, you get closer to the end, whatever that may be, and it either starts looking bigger than it did before. How do you deal with that? How do you understand, you know, what death is, the end or not the end?
Yeah, one of our mentors, one of our wise elders, Parker Palmer, calls it being on the brink of everything. And there's a way in which it's about making friends with death, having honest conversations about what you expect when we leave our bodies. What does that look like? So, a willingness to have a honest and courageous conversation about death and dying is really key.
Are people still embracing philosophy as much as they used to, even when you were probably starting to study this? Is it something that is still encouraged, or has it sort of been shifted away a bit these days?
I think that philosophy is something we do quite naturally, and I don't see that changing. A lot of my work involves doing philosophy with young people, going into elementary and middle school and high school classrooms, in addition to my university work. But young people are natural philosophers. I love doing philosophy with second graders or fifth graders because they're natural philosophers. They have all kinds of questions. They're asking why. And so, yeah, I don't see philosophy waning. In fact, if anything, I see it, given the kinds of questions we're all wondering about these days, growing.
What happens to you on social media if you pose a philosophical question? What kind of answers? what happens, and how does somebody take you out of context or change it around in some way? Is it possible?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit of a Luddite when it comes to social media, so I'm not tweeting about philosophy at all. But I do think that people want to engage in philosophical questions. And the key, of course, is what we like to call epistemological humility, the idea that you're willing to stake out a view and offer your reasons for it, but also willing to have your mind changed. In philosophy, really, there's nothing more exciting than getting a new perspective that changes your mind.
Well, that's not social media.
No, absolutely not.
There's no changing anybody's mind out there. It's just see.
No, it's just digging in deeper and deeper.
I was going to say we could build the bigger wall just to keep on either side, either direction. But it's fun to have these conversations and understand. And I think the beauty of philosophy. It has the answers out there that we've looked for, that we've thought about, and someone has framed it in a different way that kind of gives us a sense to understand it. And if we can kind of at least understand some of these questions, it makes living a little easier, right?
I think it does. And I think that also goes along well with the kind of attitude we adopt as we age. We're less interested in the answers and more interested in the questions.
Who do you want to be when you grow old? That is the name of the book, The Path of Purposeful Aging. We've been speaking with David Shapiro. He's co-author also with this, Richard Leiter. And they've also written the co-written the book, The Repacking Your Bags.